killer.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey.
I'm here to tell you why Black Friday is evil. We've had two critical shootings, a bomb threat, actual bomb discovered in Cave Creek, Arizona. A bomb was found in a Walmart, and then in another Walmart in San Andreas, California, a woman got pissed off and fired off pepper spray, and 15 people were injured. And I have failed, and I'll leave you alone.
Your radio for a Counter-Spinning Camp Roundtable. Nailed by Metter Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, North Texas Tollway Authority, and Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Tick.
That was good, Killer. Killer's here at Cowboy Camp.
We really missed you.
He's kind of heading up this roundtable as here at The Ticket. We are joined by various buddies. Now, I promoted Mike Reiner on this roundtable, and I was hoping he would be here.
So,
unfortunately, he's been replaced by Corby Davidson, and that means, much like the Supreme Court is loaded one way or another, this is now a very golf-heavy roundtable. Yeah. Mike was going to weigh it the other way. We've replaced him with Corby. Uh-huh. Now, of course, it's Bob and Dan here, right? Duh. Corby,
mm-hmm.
Craig.
Look at Craig,
aka Junior.
I've only played one round of golf this trip, so I kind of tilted back. I've only played two.
I'm only Corby,
one more than Mike.
These guys haven't been terribly committed at all.
And Donovan.
Hey Dan,
how many golf games have you played? Rounds.
Three. Golf games.
How many matches?
Just three.
Golf sets.
Just three.
Just three. Looking for four more.
You'll get and I haven't even played Tiger Woods golf or Underwater Sea Commander 4.
I doubt that.
Airport? Anyway, welcome Airport to the roundtable, guys. No. Welcome to Cowboys Camp. Thanks for joining us. Let's Thank have
you.
Some
it's
fun.
It's good to be here. It's really good to be here. I appreciate
Question
you guys
one.
Invited. Well,
here in California, has anyone sitting here had an edible?
No.
It is legal.
Not yet.
You do have plans.
Oh, I've got big plans.
Okay. That sounds like he's full.
I may have just visited a dispensary.
Really?
Maybe.
Is that your first time in one?
No, I went in Colorado once.
Okay.
Had a really bad experience. I was tripping balls afterward.
By the way, that's his favorite edible buzzword.
So he wasn't
words.
At a dispensary.
You did not, balls.
You did not consult with a bud tender. Because that's what
no,
they have there. You can talk to your bud tender.
Well, when I went in Colorado, I went with two other guys, and they handled all the purchasing, and then they dosed me.
Another one of his buzzwords.
Okay.
And then I was tripping balls.
Did you have a cigarette dipped in acid?
No, but I asked the guy today, I told him about that experience, and I said, I need something a little tamer.
Okay.
So we'll see.
I don't believe anything you've just said.
No, he did.
I really did.
Really?
Yeah.
How would you define tripping balls?
Me?
Yes.
It felt like an acid trip. Like it.
I still have no frame of reference for what you're saying.
It felt like an LSD trip.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, that makes sense.
It was too much.
It was too much.
Too overwhelming.
So I had always imagined that it would just be, or what they told us, a chill, right? Just you're laid back, you're almost falling asleep, you're a little giggly. And I'd done edibles in Amsterdam before, so I had a feel for it. And this was similar to the Amsterdam experience in that it felt like more of a hallucinogenic, and I felt just, you know, crazy out of my mind. For example, I was at a concert, and I should have known every song, and I couldn't recognize any songs. So that's the kind of experience I had.
So that's not a good trip.
No, it was terrible.
Yeah.
I've had good and bad.
Here. Out here, or you just mean in your life?
Well, in my life, and here.
Did this in any way, shape, or form
All right.
affect your availability yesterday morning?
Right. Yeah. No, I was... No, I just wasn't feeling golf, period, yesterday morning.
What?
Yeah.
All I could think of is...
God, he's changed since he's had kids.
Tony's claim that golf is sacred.
I know, yeah. I got a lot of that from Blake, too.
And then...
Come on, man. What happened? I thought golf was sacred.
And then he just dumps out at the last second.
You know, I had my heart set on the beach yesterday, and I knew that...
What does that even mean?
6 hours would be allocated to golf, and that would not allow me to enjoy my beach. But I got to tell you, man...
Let's hear about solo beach day guy.
It was cool, but it was cold here yesterday. Like, all throughout the... It didn't warm up. The sun didn't come out in Ventura until, like, 6 o'clock.
No, it was chilly all day.
This is really good today. I haven't had to lose the hoodie yet.
I know.
And it's noon.
I know.
Hey, what happened to you and Gordo doing a hike?
I went.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay. Yesterday?
Saturday.
Okay.
All day.
Man.
Yeah, Santa Barbara.
Where can you get futures sportsbook odds on whether somebody is going to dump out of their weekend off-day plans with others? Like Gordon dumping out of a hike.
Okay.
That felt like...
Easy money?
Yeah, it felt like the casinos wouldn't even take your money on that one, right? Like, you got to bet the other way.
Not happening, no. But yeah, me dumping out of golf, I just... It was a long round, too, right? You guys were like a five-hour round.
Yeah.
That would have bothered me.
In retrospect, things were not moving real fast yesterday.
Yeah. But
had to stand on the gas to get here for the scrimmage.
Yeah, I'm doing a segment today on the hikes, Santa Barbara and up near outside Ohio. I went both. I did both. It was great.
Oh, you went up to Santa Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Was there a lot of burned wreckage?
What do you mean? Oh, like fire damage?
Yeah.
I didn't see much. No, I did not. I mean, certainly in the portions of Ohio that I was in, and then. Santa Barbara didn't get anything. I think Santa Barbara is untouchable. They're just...
By
it's
fire?
Got, it's got like
that's
a
like,
shield over it, and nothing can harm it.
That's the highest of high dollar...
Yeah.
Santa Barbara?
It is.
Isn't that Oprah has a place there?
Is that higher dollar than Malibu?
I don't know. No, I think Malibu is not much more, but more expensive. Like, if you really wanted to pull off Santa Barbara and you wanted to live on the low end, you could do that. You can't do that in Malibu.
I guess I have no frame of reference. Also, I have no frame of reference for when you hear, like we did, what month were the fires? Like November last year?
It was not too long after we got back from here, within a couple of months.
I feel like the news stories were suggesting to us this place was just
torched.
Burned to the ground. And
well, Ventura,
and
I know...
I'm not here to minimize the damage, but I guess 85 fatalities. What's that?
It was 85 fatalities.
Bob. Yeah, well, Ventura?
Nice, Bob.
All throughout California during that wildfire season.
Yeah, but Neil deGrasse Tyson would tell you that 300 people
that's
died.
That's probably not a great tweet,
like in the last hour,
to be honest.
Driving.
That's probably not a great take.
So it's not that big of a deal.
I guess when we heard the news last year, it was, and we saw some of the videos, it was very scary.
Bob instantly called Spencer McKenzie's.
Oh, we did on the show.
Yeah, we did. No, they showed photos of what's our other place, Point Break Place.
Neptune's Net.
Yeah, like right behind it, there was flames were licking Neptune's Net. I believe that
it
got real
okay?
close to it. Yeah, I think so.
And that's on the northern portion of Malibu.
Yeah.
Which I think that got hit more than Malibu proper did.
We're going to drive through there tonight, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, where's this place tonight?
Down
right on the coast.
By Neptune's.
Have you not done Nobu yet?
Nope.
It's glorious.
Oh, my God.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Is it near Neptune's Net?
No, it's
about 25 minutes away.
Yeah.
Closer than Neptune?
No.
Wait,
no.
In town. You got to go further.
Farther. Okay.
It's
a
bit of a drive.
Yeah, it's a big drive.
Yeah.
It's a big boy drive down there.
And you got to wear something nice.
For real?
Like a collar. Do you have a collar with you?
No.
I don't think you have to
wear
anything nice. You're fine.
You can't wear a Luca t-shirt.
Yeah, you can.
I have a t-shirt like Corby, like this.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
A designer t-shirt.
I would put on pants.
Jeans.
Yes.
Really? Okay.
But the shirt is fine.
Tennis shoes okay?
Yes, because that's all I have.
Okay.
Yeah, I have to roll with that.
They're not going to deny you once you walk in. It's a restaurant.
By the way, Dan has joined me on the wall for on shoes. Show him, Dan.
Yeah.
Do you need the live spot music here? Or
I'm just no. I'm just saying. We're very,
they're
very
just,
hip. Very now. We're very on.
Boy.
They're just running.
You do need live spot music for that.
They're great shoes. I told Craig about it at the compound. I'm telling you, they're really good shoes.
All right, well, the Cowboys trade Zeke next.
What?
This is... All right, we have G. Gordon Keith out here with us right now. And the topic is the Manson scene, which is getting a lot of burn due to...
Well, it's a 50-year anniversary.
Well, yeah, it's its 50-year anniversary, but it's also getting a lot of burn in the Quentin Tarantino movie. It's very popular right now.
Which he coincided, release-wise, with this anniversary. He wanted it to all tie in together, for obvious reasons. Nice marketing tool for him. I want to play you some audio, though, that Danny found from the initial CBS report out here. I don't know if this was the national news or if this is the local news. But this is before they had made any arrests after the Manson murders. By the way, tomorrow is the actual 50-year anniversary of it. But here is how CBS covered the event after they got the news.
We have a weird homicide.
In a scene described by one investigator as reminiscent of a weird religious rite, five persons, including actress Sharon Tate, were found dead at the home of Miss Tate and her husband, screen director Roman Polanski. Miss Tate, who starred in Valley of the Dolls, was 8 months pregnant and was found in a bikini-type nightgown with a rope around her neck attached to the body of a man.
Two bodies inside, two bodies outside.
Among the other victims were Hollywood hairstylist Jay Sebring and coffee heiress Abigail Folger. Authorities would allow no one in an unofficial capacity inside the posh $200,000 home in the hills overlooking Los Angeles. When police arrived, they found the telephones and electricity lines cut. The bodies had been dead about 12 hours. They were discovered this morning by a maid who ran screaming to neighbors. One officer summed up the murders when he said, "In all my years, I have never seen anything like this before."
While the police admitted they had no suspects in the Bel Air massacre, there were two more murders 15 miles away in the Silver Lake section of Los Angeles. Market owner Leo LaBianca and his wife Rosemary were found by their children stabbed and mutilated. The word war was carved into LaBianca's chest, and death to pigs was smeared in the blood of one of the victims.
I cannot fathom what that must have done to mom and pop.
This is a very naive time, too.
You know, there was one guy who survived there on Cielo Drive, the caretaker.
Really?
He was there the whole time. As a matter of fact, Stephen Parent, who was one of the victims that was not named in that report,
right.
Who was a young kid. I think Stephen Parent was like 17, 18 years old.
He was
19,
shot in his car,
there.
I believe, right?
Yes, and he had just gone to visit that caretaker, who was a friend of his, about buying a clock radio from him. And he just happened to be driving out at the time when Tex Watson walked up to him. And Tex Watson stabbed him while he was in the driver's seat of the car and then shot him four times. And Stephen Parent just, he was only there for like, 30 minutes or something like that.
Oh, God.
And he was the first to die of the group. And that caretaker went back into his place after he visited with Stephen Parent about that radio. They were thinking about either buying or selling. I forget which one the caretaker was doing. And he went in there and was hanging out inside his place, listening to music on headphones. And he said he stayed up till dawn, but he didn't hear anything except his dog was barking at something outside, which he didn't think was too crazy because there were animals that would walk around outside.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he did at one point, he said that he thought that someone came up and rattled his doorknob. And then he kept listening and didn't hear anything and didn't think anything of it. And then it was dawn when the sun had come up and he had picked up his phone to call the time and temperature to find out what time it was because he didn't have a clock. And
maybe he was the one that was buying the clock radio.
Yeah, right, because he needed it. And then but the phone was dead.
So that was his first...
That was his first clue that something was weird. But then, even then, he said that he went back to sleep, and then he woke up when the detectives knocked on his door and said, "Hey, come here, come with us." He's like, "What's going on?" They said, "Come with us." And they showed him in the front lawn. They showed him Abigail Folger and Wojciech Frykowski, who was laying in the front yard.
He was like the Cato Kalin.
He was a prime suspect.
Of 1969.
He was the Cato Kalin then.
So at this point, nobody has any idea.
He died a couple years ago, as a matter of fact.
Was there anybody outside of the Manson scene and Dennis Wilson and guys like that that were aware of Charles Manson? Were the... Look, he'd been arrested a ton of times beforehand. outside of California, inside California. But, I mean, did they have any idea what was going on up there on the Spahn Ranch? Did anybody have any idea?
Yeah, I think that they had quite a... I mean, there were hundreds of members of that Manson family. And people knew about them. And I think what's fascinating about Charles Manson to people, not only the crazy interviews, which is what our generation grew up on, the crazy jailhouse interviews, was you look at the people that, he influenced, and they... I don't know what his magnetic power was over them, but it was all-consuming. And how he was able to convince... And some of these would be like the daughters of, wealthy people.
Man, that has always been the weirdest facet of this story to me.
Yeah, and some of them still swore even afterwards that he was truly the Son of God and that they had watched him reanimate birds, dead birds that they would find out in the woods, that he could pick them up and he could reanimate them. It's freaky.
God. I mean, the first woman that he turned, whose house he squatted on, was a librarian.
Yeah.
A librarian who had graduated from college and gotten her master's, that he turned and got her house.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just crazy what this guy was capable of. And again, when you start putting all the pieces together of, okay, not only were these people out there with some crazy sex satanic cult, he had that type of power over them. And that, are there other people like this that we're not aware of? You know, now we're talking about, you know, getting schools and Walmarts and everything else shot up and how many of those people are out there. Well, I wonder how, what people were thinking of as far in terms of how many other Charles Mansons are, right, I mean, under our nose.
I'm sure a lot of the people that moved to Guyana were fairly educated, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Jim Jones, that's another crazy interesting story because he started off doing a lot of good.
Yeah.
Jim Jones, and he would go in and preach in minority communities where a lot of other preachers wouldn't, and boy, and I haven't done too much studying on the Jim Jones thing, but I forget how many people died in Guyana. Was it
hundreds?
Hundreds.
I think it was like 800 people or something like that.
Yeah.
In that second clip from the NBC interview or the report that I sent you, they taught the wife of the caretaker of Spahn Ranch. She speaks about that scene and what she witnessed as far as the whole Manson clan.
All right, let's play that. Here, I got that right here.
Okay.
Not a wandering band of members of a so-called religious cult with a leader they call Jesus.
That's Brinkley.
Has had three of its followers arrested in the investigation of the murder of Sharon Tate and six others. Those arrested are two women and one man, and the Los Angeles police said they would ask murder indictments against several others. Five women are being held as material witnesses.
This is where they lived, among the stables, barns, and phony buildings of an old rundown movie location 20 miles from Los Angeles. They called themselves the family. They came and went, and the number varied from 20 to 30. Police said they were a pseudo-religious cult. People who worked on the ranch said they were heavy users of drugs.
They were constantly taking dope and stealing cars and just... They just sit around all day and sleep, and that's about it. And went around collecting garbage and had that for dinner and went to the store once in a while, and that was about it. They just slept and got loaded.
The family left the caves they'd been living in on the Spahn movie ranch in the early fall, after the Tate murders. Later, police raided the ranch and found stolen cars. The family set up another camp in the desert near Death Valley. Five members are now in jail on other charges in the desert town of Independence. The family's leader, Charles Manson, is jailed here. It is expected that he will be charged in the Tate murders.
So did Danny go through, or one of you guys go through and explain what the whole Helter Skelter thing was?
Not yet.
What he thought it was? Or what?
What this whole plan was about.
Yeah, the race war?
Yes, it was to create a race war. And they even planted, I think, Lino LaBianca's wallet.
They did.
In a gas station.
Inner city.
That was in a predominantly black section of town. And because they felt like the black community wanted to start a war with the white community but didn't have the guts to do it, therefore the Manson family was going to start it for them. Now, once the race war started, the Manson family, and this is why they were in Death Valley after that Spahn Ranch, they were looking for the hole that they were supposed to climb in and live inside the earth where they would not age and until the race war was over.
God.
And then when they emerged from the hole that was out there in the desert, everyone on earth would be black because all the white people would be dead. And then they would be so thankful to the Manson family for starting this that they would then make Charlie their king, basically, and that the Manson family would rule the earth.
Do you know how much acid it takes on a daily basis
to
even begin to come up with something like that?
Yeah, and you should have heard her. And that's why they were stealing dune buggy parts, which eventually, I think, is what got them caught. Was because they needed these dune buggies because they were scouting through the desert trying to find the hole. And I think it was either Leslie Van Houten or Krenwinkel that I was listening to this interview of, and she was talking about how they had couldn't find it, and they were getting worried, and then they got to thinking that it's probably obscured by a pond of some kind or maybe a big sand dune that had a mechanical device that if they could figure out how to trip the mechanical device, it would withdraw, and the people who were down in there waiting for them would... welcome them.
God, man.
I mean, it's...
Wow.
But that was his idea, and that's the whole reason that he did these murders. And a lot of people speculate, you know, that he did it because it was Terry Melcher's old house. That's why he did the Tate thing. But they really didn't know who was in there at the time. I don't think they thought Terry Melcher was in there, and I know they didn't know Sharon Tate was in there. Matter of fact, they said that afterwards, after they saw on the
news... It was kill everybody inside.
Just that kill
was,
everybody inside,
yes.
Right.
And make it as gruesome as possible.
Right.
I saw something a couple of weeks ago where there was a story about Doris Day, who was Terry Melcher's mother.
Mother, yeah.
And the upshot of the story was that Charles Manson was trying to get into the music scene.
Yes, that
and
is true.
He... came to her or got hooked up with her and I guess showed her some of his stuff, and she said, look, you know, you might want to think of another line of work or something. I mean, she just would not harbor him at all. I mean, she listened to him and everything, was real nice to him, but turned him away.
Well, I think Melcher met with him. I mean, I think he
did.
Melcher.
Yeah.
And he turned him
yeah.
down.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't want to work with him.
And if you listen to some of Manson's stuff, he could actually sing. He actually could. Now, some of his stuff is crazy and wild, but he wasn't completely without talent.
Well, who was the first guy that introduced him to Melcher that he killed? That was his first killing, or at least the one that was reported.
Oh, you're talking about the death of...
The music guy.
Bobby Hinman, I think it was?
Hinman? Yeah.
Hinman, yeah.
Yeah, yes.
And Bobby Boussole and Steve Hinman. I can't remember what his name was. Gary Hinman.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah, and that was the first killing. And this... Sadie Mae Glutz. What's her real name? Susan Atkins. She was the real evil.
Yeah, she was
the
crazy.
Most evil of the women.
Yeah, she was the most crazy of all.
Is that
them.
Not the most shocking thing through all of it, though, is the amount of women that he convinced.
Oh, yeah. That's women were completely enamored with him.
That's what I can't figure out.
And he would use the women, of course, to lure more men into
right.
the group. He would basically prostitute them, and they would do anything he said.
And that's what he used to do for a living, was be a pimp before he moved to California, and he got arrested several times for it. I do know that he studied Scientology pretty heavily.
Did he really?
Yeah, and that's what he used to sell, or at least some of their tactics, to brainwash his own members, what Scientologists... allegedly do right now.
Right.
But I know he was really into that.
And
in a great order.
And if you ever look at his backstory, too, you know, he was featured. There's a picture of him in the newspaper when he was a young teenager as being an example of a model citizen to come out of the Boys Ranch or wherever it was that he was.
Yeah, future leader of men.
Future leader of men about a reform school for boys. And he was the big picture of that. And you go back and look at his childhood, horrible childhood. His mother... was an alcoholic. He didn't know who his father was. His mother was an alcoholic who once traded him for a pitcher of beer in a bar.
Yes.
And I believe his mother's brother, his uncle,
went back in
and got him back from the waitress that she had traded him away when he was an infant.
God. All right, Gordo, thank you very much.
That was awesome.
Yes, sir.
There is 50-year anniversary talk of the Manson murders. Tomorrow is the official anniversary.
Wow. Yep. Crazy.
Still. Right, let's do a little wireless fun with Gordo. He's here. He's got the wireless. He's ready to go, man.
I'm allergic.
Wow.
Ready to work.
Kicks it around.